Episode 1888, My Strength is My Story with Trudy Kathy White, A Quiet Strength.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a stop
sign, watching people. Happy day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is my Strength is My Story series, and we have with us Miss Trudy Kathy White. She is the daughter of the First Lady of Chick-fil-A. Oh, yes, we are going to be eating some good sandwiches today. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to want to stay tuned because it's all about a quiet strength. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Miss Trudy's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already had the opportunity, you want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy, Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. This episode is brought to you by the AIM Academy. Well, in speaking with Miss Trudy, I was amazed at how much her mother did. Now, I understand, yes, women are strong, but this woman, Miss Jeanette M. Cathy, oh, she carried a quiet strength. Get ready to hear about this chief supporting officer, to be inspired by a tube of red lipstick, and to learn from all of her wit and wisdom. Be sure and listen, too, for those three M's. Oh, yes, and see if you have answered those questions in your life. Without further ado, let's welcome in Miss Trudy Kathy White, A Quiet Strength. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. Oh, I'm so excited. We have no beef in the house today. It's all about chicken. Oh, yeah. We have the daughter of the Chick-fil-A First Lady, Trudy Kathy White. She is the wife of 42 years to her husband, John, and they have four children and, believe it or not, 15 grandchildren. I bet she's doing a lot of loving lately. Trudy was just 19 years old when she began working in the family business. Yes, Chick-fil-A. Like I said, there's no beef here. Both she and her husband served for 20 years with the International Mission Board, with 10 of those years in Brazil, starting a small church in Larwinshape, which is a home for children in need. The Whites are co-founders of LifeShape and Impact 360 Institute. Trudy lives to serve and love others. She's a speaker and author of her brand new book, A Quiet Strength, The Life and Legacy of Jeanette M. Cathy. Welcome, my friend and sister in Christ. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm doing great, and it's an honor to be with you today.
Well, the pleasure is all mine. And yes, I don't have any beef. We're not serving beef today at all. It's all about chicken.
All about chicken. That's the way to go today, for sure.
That's right. Well, before we jump in to this incredible book that you wrote, A Story, The Life and Legacy of Your Mother, what brings you joy?
Oh, what brings me joy? The first thing that pops in my mind is just my relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, he is my hope. He's my rock. He's my strength. And that brings me joy. Second to that is the blessing that he's given me in my family, just in my marriage, my children and grandchildren. So lots of joy there, just being able to invest, in their lives and other lives. I enjoy being with people and building relationships. So joy comes when I can hang out with others.
Oh, I love that. So it's nothing like going to, you know, your local coffee house and grabbing a cup of coffee.
There you go, for sure. Now, we would go to our local Chick-fil-A for sure for that. And we like to tell people that, you know, we're really not in the chicken business. We're really in the people business. So for sure, that's the right connection for me, to be affiliated with people. And our customers that come in and eat with us, you know, to be honest with you, sometimes they're not even hungry. They're just looking for a good experience. So they come and hang out at Chick-fil-A. And we feel real honored about that.
Well, it is definitely a blessing. My father would frequent one place. It was not Chick-fil-A. They did not have a Chick-fil-A at this time in the town that they lived. Sure. And so he would go and he would get every morning his little biscuits and his cup of coffee. And it had nothing to do with the biscuits or the cup of coffee. He was there to chit-chat with every worker behind the counter and also all of the patrons that came in that morning.
Sure, of course. That's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, what was life like for you growing up as a child?
Well, we grew up in the country on a little small farm just south of Atlanta, and my dad was working long, long hours, so my mother really, she became the domestic engineer in our household. She had to raise three children with a husband that was working long hours back at the restaurant. She had to take care of, you know, a lot of the animals that we had here on the farm. She had her own tool set, so my mother, she had to do a lot of the repairs because we were so far out in the country, there just wasn't anybody she could call on to help, so she was quite the learner. She was always trying to figure out how she could fix this appliance or that appliance or check the plumbing. And it was intriguing to kind of watch her do that as we were growing up. But I have two brothers, so three of us are very close in age. We rode Shetland ponies together on our farm. We climb pine trees. We're in the south with all the pine cones and throw pine cones at each other. But we were raised in a very loving and happy home. So that's a little nugget insight of my childhood.
Oh, well, it sounds like it was definitely a lot of fun. And I know because I've already read the book, yep, how incredible it was. And I know at times your mom was probably on her knees going, Lord, if they would just not get into another thing.
You're exactly right. I think because we were so close in age and we didn't have neighbors to friends to hang out with. So we just had each other. And what one didn't think of, the other one certainly would, you know. So it was every day. I used to say, I don't know how my mother didn't just lose her mind because of so many crazy things that we got into over the years of growing up together.
Well, I'm sure that gave her a lot of wisdom. And so as more children came in, as in grandchildren, yeah, and then also son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, I'm sure she was able to, you know, go, oh, these kids taught me a lot. Now I really know how to handle them all.
That's exactly right. She got wiser through the years, as we all do, hopefully. More life experience that you have, the more discernment that you have, for sure. In fact, sometimes when the daughters-in-laws would be over at the house and they would, you know, maybe complain just a little bit about their husbands, of course, her sons. And she would say, well, let me just remind you, you got them before I was finished with them. You know, so she was working hard on all of us to, you know, and then we, you know, left the nest and got married. And so she said she wasn't sure she had quite enough time with us.
Well, I know in reading the book that she left a lot of little notes also around the house, and you have since left those notes. Do you go and find them in strange places that you didn't realize they were still there?
Yeah, you know, I guess it was my mother's form of journaling. She did keep a few spiral-bound little notebooks around that she would do her Bible study in and take notes on, but she did have this habit of just picking up index cards and just jotting things down that would be reminders to her of things she's learning, things she wanted to remember. One little card she has on her mirror in her bathroom, there are five things that she needs to remember about life. And I actually have them right here at my desk. And those five things were, you need to read Bible, you need to have faith, you need to exercise, you need to drink water, and you need to eat vegetables. Yeah. So she even had those things written down. It was just amazing. After mother and dad passed away, my mother passed away almost 5 years ago. You know, I had to clean through the house. They lived in their home for 57 years, so it's a long time, and you collect a lot of stuff over that many years. But I would come across so many interesting things that she had written on cards that were just very profound and very encouraging as well.
Just those nuggets of wisdom. Yeah. Well, you wrote this book in honor of your mother's life and legacy. What does the word legacy mean to you?
That is a great question. When I think of legacy, I think really it is the word that defines for us our everyday choices that we make and how we live our life. Because I often say that the legacy that we're going to leave is actually the life we're living right now. So we tend to say, you know, later on, you know, I'll work on my legacy, but you're actually building your legacy right now in everything that we do. And so my mom was a person who had a heart full of gratitude, but she was certainly a learner in everything that she approached, but she had an incredible attitude. And so the legacy that she left for us was this legacy that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So she was such an encourager to everyone who met her.
Wow, she sounds like an incredible woman. I can hear it within you. You just have this beloved love for your mom that goes way deeper. And, you know, some mom and daughters, you know, they say they love each other, but I can tell there's something so special between your all's bond. Give us a little backstory, though, as to what it was like for your mother growing up.
Yeah, mother had, she was a young girl that faced a lot of adversity. That's why one of the reasons I think this book is going to be encouraging to people that if you encounter adversity, there is a way that you can enjoy a flourishing life even beyond your adversity that goes on. So when mother was a little girl, she was raised during the time of the Great Depression. Her family was very poor. Her father walked out on her when she was a baby in arms, so she never met her earthly father. This was the beginning of a really tough life for her. She was an only child raised by a single mother. But by the time she was 5 years old, another family member introduced her to her Heavenly Father. They share with her words from the Bible that share that if you believe and receive, you become a child of the King. And my mother was just enamored by that thought that she actually could have a father, and he would be her Heavenly Father, and he's the very one who created her. And so her Heavenly Father became her perfect father. And I've learned so much in watching my mother from this side of her life, because she had every reason and maybe even every excuse to become bitter as she grew older. But the fact that, you know, she never held her father's hand. She never created any kind of experiences of memorable times with him. Obviously, he never walked her down the aisle when she got married. He was never around when she had children. And so all of those things create within you an opportunity to be very bitter, to feel unwanted, to feel very discouraged. But my mother somehow realized that how she reacted to external circumstances directly impacted her internal strength. And so she chose how she would respond to life situations, and she responded in a very positive way. And she realized that instead of being bitter towards a very flawed man, she decided that she would want to be grateful to a loving father who cared deeply for her. So that's her early life. But she, very interesting thing about it is that her mother, being a single mom, had to be the breadwinner, of course, for the two of them. And she was a great seamstress. And so my grandmother actually made the first curtains that hung in the Fox Theater. Now, if you're not from Atlanta, you may not know about the Fox Theater, but it's the most famous theater you can attend here in Atlanta. It's been here for years and years. And so my grandmother actually had a job of making the costumes and repairs for the actors and actresses that would come through Atlanta for the big shows. So my mother kind of grew up backstage with all of this going on. So she developed a real love for music. She could sing, she could dance, she learned to play the piano, she learned to play the trumpet, and she was a very gifted young lady and always wanted to use her talents to bring honor and glory to her Heavenly Father.
You go into great detail in the book. Now, we could stay here for hours upon hours, but you guys are going to want to pick up your own copy of A Quiet Strength, The Life and Legacy of Jeanette M. Cathy. Well, in your book, how you started off, I thought was absolutely out of this world. I mean, it grabbed me because it was what your mom actually wrote. And within that letter, she shared two significant words, two words.
Yeah, those two words are powerful for her to overcome her her past and situation. But those two words were, "You can." You know, she just wanted to encourage everybody to realize you can. But then she also coupled that with you can with God. And she had this book that she read that was about positive thinking, and it was titled You Can. And she would hold that book up, and then she would hold her Bible up, and she said, "You can with God." It's almost like her motto became that verse from Philippians that says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me."
She had a way of making things so simple, Trudy.
It was very interesting. I think I shared the story in the book that she took the simple or the what could be very difficult and make it really kind of fun. Let me just share one story with you that's from the book, and it's about our daughter. She was going to have her birthday party. She was going to be about 11 or 12, and my mother said, "I'll host the party at my house. It'll be lots of fun." She invited all the family and friends over, and I got up the morning of the birthday party and realized that Joy was coming down with the chicken pox. So I called my mom and said, "Mom," I says, "I think we're going to have to cancel the birthday party." And she said, "No, we don't need to cancel the birthday party. I'll let people know that she may have the chicken pox, but you come on and we'll have lots of fun. So she met everybody at the door, with her red lipstick or tube of red lipstick, and she put red dots on everybody that came into the party. So we all had chicken pox right along with my daughter. She just, you know, it's simple things like that that made you feel very valued. That's why I titled this book A Quiet Strength, because she wasn't ever in the spotlight. She rarely had a microphone in her hand, but she just knew how to take simple things and make them very special so that you feel very, very valued.
Oh, that is absolutely beautiful. Well, you share a lot of funny things that happened. And one story involved the White House and the pony.
Yes. Well, because we were in the country, my brothers and I, we spent a lot of time outside. We had horses and cows, and we noticed that when the newborn calf would be born, or cow, we would spend time with them, and then they would just follow us around the pasture and everything. And so we decided, hey, we'll just let them follow us right on up to the house. And then I usually was the designated one to keep the back door open, and we would just let this newborn calf just follow us right on into the house, right into the den, and my mother's laundry room. She did laundry down in the basement, and we would get this little calf or colt in our house, and then we would get our Polly, who was our parrot, out of the cage, and we would try to put the parrot on the back to ride on the colt. And my mother would come up from the laundry room, and she would see these animals all in her house on the carpet and everything, and she would just have a fit, and she would say, "Get those animals out of this house!" And we would chuckle, because I don't know what it was about us when we were little, but we just kind of loved to see Mother get upset every once in a while. And then we would take the animals out of the house. And usually there was a little discipline that was going to come after that as well. But yeah, that was just part of our life of growing up on the farm.
Well, I have to mention this story too. And this is really in honor of my husband and my son and their love for motorcycles.
Okay. Yeah,
I read this one and I was like, "Are you serious? Oh my goodness!" Share that one with us.
Oh yeah, so one Christmas when we were little, we got some little trail bikes to ride around on the farm, and my dad was fascinated with wheels, and so my brothers put together their money, and eventually they bought him a real simple motorcycle. And we actually decided they were traveling. We decided to give it to him when they came home from a trip. So we had this motorcycle in the house, no doubt back in the same den where we had animals. And Mother and Dad came home, and we surprised Dad with the motorcycle. And between my brothers and my dad, they decided we should just crank it right up, you know. And we cranked the thing up in the den, and my mother was, of course, having a fit. She, you know, again, it was get the motorcycle out of the house, you know. So the smoke was coming, the exhaust was, you know, all filling up in the house, everything. So, oh, my poor mother, she put up with an awful lot between my dad and the children and trying to grow this business. It's no wonder she became quite the prayer warrior. She had to spend a lot of time on her knees to survive.
Hence the book title, A Quiet Strength, The Life and Legacy of Jeanette M. Cathy. I also, though, have to tease, we're not going to talk about it, but they've got to get the book, too, because there's something involving a monkey. So you've got a parrot, a monkey, I mean, a motorcycle, and there's cows, too, with Sundays, going to Sunday school and church and getting ready for that. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I can't relate to the cow part, but I can relate to trying to be on time every single time. And then when you are on time, you can't be on time.
That's exactly right. There's some great stories in there. It'll probably help us all be reminded of the importance of having patience, you know, and just kind of taking it moment by moment, particularly for young mothers trying to get their children ready to get out the door. I think for anybody who just struggles with those sort of things, there are always interruptions in life, right? You know, and they're usually unexpected. And I think just an encourager to your listeners to realize that a lot of times God works in those situations as well. So instead of being frustrated, we just have to kind of find out, God, what can I learn, you know, in this particular situation? I feel like that was oftentimes my mother's attitude as well.
And she had to have been a teacher. You know, I mean, with everything that she did have, like you called her multiple times, you've said it now, that she was a learner.
Yeah.
And she lived her life learning and teaching.
Yeah, that's right. You know, when she graduated from high school, she picked up some odds and ends jobs, but she really wanted to go on in her studies. And a group of ladies in her church, local church, decided to pull together their money to be able to allow her to be able to continue to study. She actually took some courses at seminary, which was very unusual back in the 40s for a woman to do that in that time. Then she graduated from college with the help of these ladies and with a double major in history and religion. And I think she was always, every time she was learning things, she was sharing it with others. When she was 65 years old, she decided she would love to paint. She had never painted before, but she so enjoyed the outdoors and the beauty of God's creation and the beauty that she saw in others. And she decided she went to the store, she bought some canvas, she bought some oils, and she became a self-taught artist. And she did some beautiful work. In fact, I've got my book here, and in the cover of the book, there are lots of pictures of Mom, and one of them is her here painting. And she just did some beautiful artwork. So going back to this idea of being a teacher, a lot of her grandchildren would come by and want her to teach them a little bit about painting. She loved to teach young girls in Bible study. She taught 12 and 13-year-old girls for many, many years. And some of those girls are grown and married now and our ages, and they still talk about Mom as a teacher. She taught everybody if you took time to be with her.
There was a lot of love, a lot of learning, a lot of laughter. At the same time, there was a lot of seriousness too. When you open your book, you share about the You Can, but there was also a part in there that talks about both your mom and your dad being very devoted Sunday school teachers to eighth grade boys and girls. And there was three M's that were very important. And if you learn these three M's, you could go off and truly master your life.
Yeah, no doubt. Mother and dad, in working with young boys and girls, realized that oftentimes, and we would as well as their children, kind of complain, oh, but I don't get to do this. I always have to ask my mom and dad about whether I can do this or that, and I can never make decisions for myself. And so my mother and dad wanted these teenagers to understand, look, the most important decisions that you're going to make in life, you actually get to make those. And you need to get ready to know how to make them. And they were the three M's that they talked about. So they said the first decision that you're going to get to make is who will be your master of your life. And you need to understand, you know, and get that right. You know, who will be in control of your life? Who will be your master? The second M is who will be your mate? Your parents aren't going to choose that for you, at least not in our culture. You're going to get to make that decision for yourself. And so who will be your mate? And the third M is what will be your mission in life? Will you choose to use the abilities and talents that God has given you and use those in a career that is really glorifying the Lord? So your master, your mate, and your mission are the three M's that they talk often to us about, as well as to other young teenagers as well.
Well, I just, in reading that story, it just captivated me. And we're not going to tell this part because they got to pick up the book. But I want to give a teaser. Those three M's became very precious, as in passing down a piece of jewelry, a piece of their legacy to both their sons and daughters, and then their daughter-in-laws and son-in-laws. And then on top of that, they extended it down to their grandchildren. Yes. Y'all are going to have to pick up your copy of the book to read this, because there is something precious in that. And all I'm going to say is three M's, three stones. And we'll leave it at that.
That's great.
It is so beautiful, Trudy. Well, I know your mom was a fixer. And it got me giggling because I used to have a home daycare at one point. So I felt like I was living in a farm, in a zoo sometimes with all the children around. I loved it. I would have had 20 children of my own. I only have 5, but, you know, I would have had 20.
Sure.
With that being said, she was a fixer, and you shared the story about the toaster. What was one thing you wished growing up that she would have just gotten a new one of something?
Well, there are a lot of times that I wondered why Mother would hold on to things. After she passed away, I found a broken mug. The handle had broken off of a mug. And in that mug, she had two tubes of glue, two different types of glue that could be used. And she had a note there that said, fix this, you know. And I was thinking, Mother, you could have just gone and bought 6 more, you know. And here's the lesson I learned from my mom. And there were lots of things that I think that she could have just gone out and bought, but she realized why would I buy it if I could fix it? And it's this philosophy, just because you can doesn't mean you should. I appreciated that so much in my mother and my dad. My mother always wanted us to understand that everything we had came from the hand of God, everything that we have today, and that we have to have a heart of gratitude for what God has given us, and that we've been blessed to be a blessing to others. But we need to take care of what God has given to us. And so we call that stewardship, just managing what God has given. And my mother was extremely frugal. That may sound much like some of people who are listening, their parents or their grandparents that grew up in the time of the Great Depression and stuff. But I think it's something where we all need to realize that we need to take care of what we've been given and exercise good stewardship in those. So we try to do that in our own way we live our life, to be good stewards of what God's entrusted to us in terms of relationships, using our time really well, using our talents well, even using our resources, but even using our influence really well.
This is a season of an election.
Yeah.
And we don't need to get political, but I am curious, if your mom could tell us and give us a little piece of advice, what would her simple advice be when we have all of this craziness happening right now in our country?
You know, I think my mother would say what she always encouraged us to do, and she would say, let's pray. She was such a prayer warrior. And I think that when we encounter difficulties in our country, we've got elections coming up. We want good leadership for our country. We want good leadership at our homes. And challenges are going to come. That's nothing new for anybody, but we have to realize how to deal with those challenges. And one of the best ways that my mother found inner strength was through the power of prayer and taking problems and concerns before the Lord and just leaving them there for him and recognizing the fact that he's in control and that we can trust him every day. I learned so much about faith. My mother had her own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I made that decision myself as a young girl when I was 7.5 years old, but my faith has grown through the years. And one of the ways it has grown is recognizing the fact that God cares about me, about the big things and the little things in life, and I can come to him with any of those. So even if we're thinking about our country and its future, we need to be on our knees in prayer before the Lord about that.
Amen. Well, I know your mother was very, very devoted to your dad. And that just came across in every single word that was penned in this book. What was one thing that they did daily that impacted their marriage so greatly?
Yeah, my mother was an important support role to my dad. They were married for almost 66 years. Now, their marriage wasn't perfect because they weren't perfect people. So I don't want you to think that at all. But I do know that mother and dad had a habit of sitting down at the breakfast table. Now, this is, of course, after children had grown. But they would sit down together and pray together. In fact, in the latter years of my dad's life, when he wasn't driving as much, a lot of times somebody would come by the house to pick him up, to take him to the office, and they would look in the kitchen window and they would see mom and dad sitting at their kitchen table, holding hands, their heads bowed, knowing that they were praying together over the events of the day or things that they were concerned about, probably over their children and grandchildren. And that person would just step away from the window, get back in the car, and just sit there and wait. And sometimes they said it'd be 10 or 15 minutes before my dad would walk out and be ready to go. But they never rushed that morning time. It was a special time that they spent together with each other. My mother was relentless in her support to my dad and to the support of this business.
And this business started out not as Chick-fil-A.
No.
Tell us a little bit of just that backstory as to the Dwarf House.
Yeah, so my dad was 25 years old. He decided he would love to open a little restaurant. He partnered with his brother. And so they built this restaurant called the Dwarf House here in south of Atlanta. And it was a 24-hour operation, open 6 days a week. The very first week they were in business, they decided they were exhausted and they could not work on Sunday. So there wasn't anything spiritual about the reason to close on Sunday, because really back then, This is back in 1946, so most everything was closed on Sunday. But they did realize that, boy, it was nice to take a pause from the day-to-day routine. And so we have never opened any of our restaurants on Sunday from that very beginning week. So that was a little bit of what life was like for my dad, working really hard and long, long hours. But for 18 years, he actually ran the restaurant business before Chick-fil-A ever came on the scene. So people kind of forget that. He opened up a second restaurant, and business was going really well. He said it was just keeping him too busy to have two restaurants. But the Lord took care of that because the second restaurant caught on fire and burnt to the ground. So it put my dad back in his first restaurant and gave him plenty of time to invent what we know of today as Chick-fil-A. So he deboned the rest of the chicken. He pressure cooks it in peanut oil, coats it in a special coater that he came up with the seasoning for, and decided to serve it on his hamburger buns that he already had there in his store. So he buttered those buns, put the chicken between the buns with some delicious pickles because that's why he served hamburgers. And there came Chick-fil-A in 1964. So my mother came on the scene about 2 years after my dad opened his first restaurant. They got married, and so she served as a waitress with him. So they learned in their marriage how to work together. And I actually met my husband through working at Chick-fil-A. I was an operator and hired him as a team member to come and work for me. And so I really think you find out a lot about somebody when you work together with them. So mother knew by then what she was getting into as serving as a waitress in his restaurant for sure.
Oh, I can just imagine as a couple together. In fact, you tell the story of, I believe it was the 40th anniversary of Chick-fil-A, and you had a very well-renowned artist pin something, and they were sitting there together sharing a Chick-fil-A, of course, milkshake together in one cup.
Right. Yep, that's right. Sharing together with that famous little two straws coming out. And that whole story about the famous artist is another wonderful story people are going to really enjoy as well.
It is an incredible story. Y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy of A Quiet Strength, The Life and Legacy of Jeanette M. Cathy. Well, in writing your book, and I can only imagine, I mean, when you write a book just even about yourself, but about your mom, there had to have been kind of some ups and downs and some roller coasters. What was a hidden treasure that you discovered that you didn't know or completely understand as you were digging deeper into your mom's legacy?
Well, there are a lot of stories that surfaced. I realized that I wasn't the only one that knew stories about my mother. There were a lot of other people who had stories to share, and so we interviewed a lot of people as a part of crafting this book together. But there was something that wasn't necessarily a surprise for me, but a reminder to me of something that my mother told me when she was sick in the hospital. She looked at me in her hospital bed, and she said, "Trudy, days are long, but life is short." She was trying to remind me that, you know, in life, there are lots of challenges, and some days can feel like two or three days in one. And I'm sure that your listeners and you can relate to that. There are just some days that seem like they're never going to come to an end. But my mother wanted me to know that days are long, but life is short. And, you know, I think that Paul clarifies that in the book of Ephesians. He said, make the most of every opportunity. And I believe that was what my mother was trying to remind me of, that, you know, life will be short, and every day is a treasure that we have to use to invest in others and to use our influence and maximize our opportunity of influence with others. So I just appreciate a mom who gave me all kinds of tips about life, and especially reminded me of this one I want to be much more intentional every day of my life because of the influence she had on me.
What is one of those tips or advice that she gave you that you feel like, gosh, I still haven't mastered that yet?
Well, you know, she gave me lots of advice. When we were growing up, she had this habit of standing at the back door, and she would say to us as children on the way out the door, she would say, "Remember who you are and whose you are." And I think I needed to hear that a lot as a teenager, to be reminded that our identity is not wrapped up in who we're related to, what we do, our accomplishments, but our identity is wrapped up in our relationship with Jesus Christ and who he is and what he chooses to do through us. And so I don't struggle with that as much as I used to struggle with it, but I do think that it is something I have to revisit every day in my life to remind myself that my identity, the really focus of my life, the core of who I am is Jesus Christ and allowing him to live out his life through me. So I'm always learning, like my mother, what this means for me and my relationship.
Well, I know it's somewhat challenging because you put together a book and then you send it out into the world. As the readers pick it up and they begin to go through all the beautiful stories, and I shared with you earlier before we even began talking here and chatting, how it touched me and it made me giggle and laugh, and it brought me memories of my own grandmother and my mom, and even things that I was like, yeah, I remember that said a different way, but, you know, I can see myself in it. What do you hope the readers are going to gain as they read all these incredible stories, the love, the laughter, and the fun that you all had growing up together?
Yeah, you know, what I hope that the readers will gain from reading this book is the very same thing that I gained from living life with my mom, and that is that they will be encouraged. I think we all encounter adversity, and we have a choice of how we're going to respond to that. And all throughout this book are just like hidden treasures and jewels of insight of how we can actually enjoy life and live a flourishing life, even in the midst of adversity that we have to walk through. So I hope it inspires and encourages everyone who reads it.
Well, I know you touch on this also in the book, and it's about how little that we pay attention to those people in support roles.
Yeah.
And that your mom was very much an encourager. And in fact, the name of the actual, I guess, support center or whatever you called it before. Now, I don't even know what it's called before because I think of it as a support center. But for Chick-fil-A, you changed the name to honor that.
Yeah, we used to have, we call it our corporate office, you know, of course, the headquarters here in Atlanta. And now we refer to it as the Chick-fil-A Support Center because Mother was such a support, had such an important role. If I had to give my mom a title for her role with our company, it was the chief supporting officer. And every business needs that. You know, you just need to feel like you're a part of the team and that you're supporting those that are around you. And so we want our staff to understand that as well, that we are here to support and serve others just in the way that my mom did. And so we've learned so much from that. And I feel like that maybe in our society, we feel like you can't have much influence if you're not in the spotlight, if you're not holding the microphone, if you're not visible to a lot of people. And yet every one of our family members and our staff that had an opportunity to know my mom would say, we would not be who we are today as people or as a business had it not been for the support of my mom. So I would encourage people who feel like, you know, I don't know, it's just little of me. I'm not sure I can have much influence, but you totally can, supporting, being the behind the scenes person in whatever you do, whether it's supporting your spouse, supporting your children, supporting in your community or through ministries. There's always opportunity to support, and that role can be extremely powerful.
Such great wisdom, Trudy, sure. And so beautiful. I love your heart. I love your family. Yes, I even love Chick-fil-A. No beef today. Well, you titled your book A Quiet Strength. What quiet strength did your mother pass on to you?
Oh, I learned so much from my mother. I think that's probably a better question to ask my children. They have even a better knowledge of that. But one of the things is trying to realize that my strength does come from my Creator, from the God who made me. And so I've tried to pass that actually on to my children as well, to help them to understand that in this world, you know, your stronghold is going to be your Lord and Savior. You know, He is the one that is your rock. The Bible references oftentimes about the opportunity that we have to hide under the shelter of a mighty God. And so I've tried to pass that on to my children, just the idea of their faith, to help them to know where to focus their lives. If it can be Christ-centered, then it becomes the filter for their decision-making process. And so I've learned to process the decisions that I've made using the filter of what would God want me to do in this particular situation. So those are some of the things I think that God, that my mother has passed on to me, that have become a very, very much a strength for me as in my role as a mother, as a grandmother, even as a woman that as an author trying to leverage my influence with others.
I know you all are going to want to read more stories so you can learn about the life and legacy of Jeanette M. Cathy. Pick up your own copy of A Quiet Strength. People are going to want to connect with you, Miss Trudy. Where can they find you?
Yes, I would love to connect with them. They can find me at TrudyCathyWhite.com. And they can pick up the book, of course, at their local bookstores, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's are gracious to carry the book. And I hope that it'll be an encouragement to readers. And I'd love to connect, maybe have an opportunity to come and speak in your area as well.
Well, we will have all that information in the show notes so they can get in touch with you for sure. Well, I have one last question for you. The series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
I think what the story has gifted me is given me a song in my heart. There's a wonderful old hymn that says, "This is my story, this is my song, serving my Savior all the day long." And so in our business of serving others, I think that is what I want my song to be, that I'm a person who cares to serve others and wants to serve others. When I was growing up, my parents told me this statement that I never really understood until I was an adult. They said, "Trudy, if you will help others get what they want in life, you will eventually get what you want out of life." And so that is becoming my focus. How can I help others get what they want in life?
Amen. You are a beautiful gem. Thank you so much for taking time to pen your mom's life and legacy so we can enjoy and learn so much from her. And thank you for sharing your time with us, Miss Trudy.
Thank you, Christine, so much. It's been an honor to be with you today. I appreciate it.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.